Well, good morning. It's Sunday, February 21st, 2021. Well, we weren't with you last week, but we certainly had quite a morning. It was February 13th, Valentine's Day. Larry and I, about 7:30 in the morning, decided, well, there's no wind, it's nice outside, why don't we just take a walk up to the chapel? So we did that, and as we approached the walkway, we heard the sound of running water. So Larry unlocked the door, and when we went in, we heard the sound of gushing water in the lower level of the chapel. And it appeared that maybe pipes had broken from the cold weather. Just, you know, not that we've done anything different all the winters we've been here, but the pipes did break, as it turned out. So he immediately turned off the electricity, and which stopped the well pump from working, which stopped the water from running. We called the fire department. Within minutes, they came, and they were just so wonderful. They double-checked to make sure Larry had turned off all the electricity, which he had. And then they waded with big lights down into the water, looked to be about 3 or 4 inches of water, white ceiling tiles floating around. And so they helped us get, or actually they did it themselves. They moved any furniture that had wood up onto tables downstairs to keep them from getting any further damage. So then they told us, you know, we definitely wanted to get in touch with our insurance company, file a claim, and get someone out there that day to start getting the water up. Well, we did all that, and our insurance company was really wonderful. We started a claim, and by mid-afternoon, they had a service master company in from Chicago that began working on getting all the water out, extracting everything, and drying out the lower level of the chapel, which by Friday, this past Friday, that was all done. And of course, now we're pretty much down to studs, just bare studs and empty floor. They removed the carpet, they removed the cabinets, they removed the wall boards, everything pretty much. And now it's ready to get going on the reconstruction of it all. So certainly keep these things in our prayers. You know, this was certainly wasn't a blessing to see that sweet little fellowship area be so looking so deplorable, but God will certainly work his wonderful ways to weave it into a blessing. We know that. So anyway, wanted you to know about that, and you can help us keep you can keep that in your prayers and assist along the way. So well, in our last installment of God's Word Concerning Himself, which I think was part 3, we looked at God's eternal power, his eternal knowledge, and his eternal presence. Of his knowledge, we recognize that he has perfect knowledge of everything. There's nothing for him to learn. There's nothing he has forgotten. And as I said, he knows everything from everlasting to everlasting. Nothing can surprise him. He's never blindsided. He knows every need, problem, situation, and he is eternally sufficient to fit the bill. We read Psalms 139:6, which I would like to read again. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And the Hebrew word for knowledge is referring to perception, skill, discernment, intelligence, understanding, and wisdom. So God's knowledge is remarkable. It's incomprehensible, extraordinary, and it does involve the supernatural, of course. His knowledge is exalted. It is safe. It is protected. No one is going to reach it and overcome it. They are not going to even parallel his knowledge and his wisdom. The psalmist was saying he could never have been a master over the knowledge of God. You know, Lucifer did not have that humility. He thought himself to have mastery above the knowledge of God. He wanted to be God. In Romans 11:13, that's going to more or less be the theme verse of today, is this stunning truth about the knowledge of God. And I'm going to be reading this verse from the New American Standard Bible. And it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." So you look at this exclamation, "Oh!" You know, this verse is an exclamation about the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's a verse of immense awareness and admiration. It speaks of the depth of the riches. And as for depth, for God eternal, where are his boundaries? We already read in the book of Job that he has no bounds. We cannot figure the depth of his riches. We will not know in this life the ultimate dimensions of the sphere of God's counsels. They are inexpressibly deep. Oh, how exhaustible are God's resources and God's wisdom and God's knowledge. How impossible it is to search into his decrees or to trace his footsteps. Remember, in Job 11:7, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? You know, his knowledge is hidden and is far superior to man's scrutiny. And within his depths, within the riches, within the depths, is the inexhaustible abundance of eternal possessions, fullness, and all of his enriching goodness. You know, when we say God knows all, it is really challenging to the mind to truly capture what that means. It has been a conventional belief that an atom is the smallest particle of matter. But now science, woohoo, has discovered quarks, Q-U-A-R-K-S, to be the building block of all matter. I cannot verify science, but if they are true, if that is a fact, God knows every quark, every atom, every proton, electron, neutron. He is the creator. Matter did not precede God. So we can be sure that science has not discovered it all, because God's knowledge and wisdom is inexhaustible and far above man's ability to search out. And that's so important to remember. God not only knows past, present, and future, but he carries all the essential details of every event, every thought, every decision, and the attitude of heart at the time. Everything surrounding everything, he knows every dimension. He well knows the domino effect. And in the end, it is all going to be according to his purposes. And those purposes, of course, will perfectly be in sync with God's nature. He alone has the power, the wisdom, and the knowledge to bring his purposes to pass. And Larry and I have spoken many times, and perhaps have taught it in other ways, but mankind is going to be very surprised, pleasantly surprised, gloriously surprised, to see what the God of love and light and of goodness and mercy has in store. So we should read the word and increase our knowledge of what God says concerning himself and what his word teaches about him. This is a huge part of how our faith takes shape, how we get starch in our spiritual backbone. Everyone expresses their desire to grow their faith, to have more faith, to be stronger in their beliefs, in their believing. And it's not the greatness of how big we believe. it truly is about our childlike believing and trust in the eternal Lord God. As we build and embrace what we can know about who God is, our faith and trust will comfortably rest in His care. And that is a great, wonderful place to be. We will be resilient as the waves of life, they foam, they roar. Nothing will shake us. Our senses, emotions will be unstirred by the roaring of the enemy. God's ways of working with mankind are beyond exploration. That's what this is all saying. They cannot be searched out or comprehended. God cannot be figured out. He cannot be quantified or qualified. He is unlimited in every regard. Through the new birth, we are enriched. Because God gave His only begotten Son those same riches, all that Christ is, we are in Him. Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3 will read, because they tell us about where these riches are hidden, just like I said in Colossians 2, 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Verse 3, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That is just earth-shaking. That is the only place we will find the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus' own words in John 14, 6, He said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So how do we get to the Father, whose depth of both the wisdom, the knowledge and wisdom, they're so deep? We get there through Christ. He is the only way. And verse 4 of Colossians 2 continues, and this I say, you know, He's telling us this, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And enticing words denotes a speech that is adapted to persuade us away from God and lead us into error. They're words that give a senses explanation for the great and mighty works of God. They're words that kind of write off the possibility that God actually did something mighty and powerful on our behalf. They give a senses explanation as to why it's this, that, or the other, but not because of God. And I will say, we do know life is not the luck of the draw. Even the powers which oppress mankind, like the supposed power of the stars, supposedly the stars have a hold over our personality. They can predict our bodily weakness to disease and so forth. All of those things, all of those supposed powers over us, were defeated by the power of the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are free. There is nothing that should ever defeat us. Jesus Christ defeated it all. Ephesians 3:16 and following, I want to read from the Webster's Bible. It's closer to the Greek in the wording alignment. Starting in verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him, to God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So we can see from this, all these great and wonderful things, we can see from this how the God of this age, the God of this world, would want to seduce us by way of persuasive arguments. He wants to cut off God's will for our lives, and we are the deciding factor. The choice is ours. We alone make the decision for our lives as to where we will place our beliefs and our trust. Will it be in the wisdom and knowledge of the world, or will it be in the wisdom and knowledge of God? We decide. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, tells us how to combat those enticing words of man's wisdom. And we need this information, because after peeking around to acknowledge the boundlessness of God's eternity, how ludicrous for anyone to think they would ever approach the bounds of God's wisdom and knowledge. His love and his mercy, his faithfulness and tenderness, only in one's wildest imagination would anyone consider silly thoughts of that fashion, for sure. And in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we'll read, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, first off, what are imaginations? Imaginations are the reckonings or the computations that go on in one's mind, and they are hostile to Christians, to a Christian's faith. A word likely associated with this process is one we read a little earlier, enticing words of man's wisdom. They're enticing words. They lead us away. You know, we get ourselves into all kinds of trouble when we calculate in our own mind and figure out that we know what we should do. We can figure out our lives just fine. And when things get impossible, that's when we'll call on God. When our backs are against the wall, it's 911. Well, every high thing in this verse, you know, we just read that the depth and height of all things are through Christ. This refers to anything that we set above our trust in God. Every high thing. That's what we're supposed to cast down. Every high thing. The height in our thinking becomes a barrier to us. This verse tells us to cast it down. Cast down that kind of thinking because it exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which is inexhaustible, right? Remember? The Greek words, that exalts itself. It's one Greek word, and it offers us a vivid mind picture as to its meaning. It literally means to raise up like a sail on a boat. And for that sail to move a vessel, it must be filled with wind, right? What a great metaphor of exalting oneself, where being lifted up with pride, it's just like a sail full of the wind of the world. You know, it just moves you along. It moves you about. Wherever the wind takes you, that's where you're going to go. And for themselves, no doubt, they have set sail to a risky destination. Interestingly, the word for cast down means to pull down or destroy. It has the essence of you pull it down, you destroy it. Remember, it's our decision. And because we love God and through our victory in Christ, by our free will decision, we or by our free will decision, we allow the word to destroy those imaginations by making our every thought line up with Christ's thoughts. Hey, it says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When we do not exercise our free will choice to capture the thoughts of our own minds, then our thoughts are up for grabs. Our thoughts will fall prey to persuasive arguments, and those will distance us from God. They will carry us down the rabbit hole where there is only chaos and confusion. We will experience a loss of self. We will become a servant to a strange, surreal, and nonsensical world where there's just unending questions and problems that consume all of our time. A rabbit hole is a place of perpetual questions, chaos, and no answers. And we are to bring our thoughts under control. No rabbit holes. We are in charge of our minds. We lead captive those thoughts that are contrary to the mind and thoughts of Christ. And we do the will of God. By the accomplishments of Jesus Christ on our behalf, thoughts contrary are defeated enemies. So we blow them out of our world with the Word of God. The Word of God is alive. It will blow like dynamite. It will explode the devil's persuasive arguments. We'll read 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 from the New Living Translation, starting with verse 18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we, who are being saved, know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. Now, a debater, these brilliant debaters, a debater is a learned disputer. It all comes from that word, Sophia. He exercises, this learned disputer, exercises himself in the deliberate use of false arguments with the intent of tricking someone. This wisdom, it's godless, and it's designed to alienate people from God. It's designed to get people fighting. It's designed to get people to lose their respect for the free will of other people. It's godless. It alienates us from God. Worldly wisdom, regardless, and there's unlimited viewpoints. Worldly wisdom is hostile to the causes of Christ. It wipes out the love of God. It wipes out loving your neighbor as yourself. But here is the good news. Look on at verse 30. In verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. These are the words of truth. There's only one truth. On the other hand, we know there are many, many lies, and even with one lie, how many versions of that lie are there? Oh my gosh, it's endless. Endless questions with no answers in the rabbit hole. And basically, the world is one big suck-you-in rabbit hole. Verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We glory in the knowledge of God, in our intimacy with him. After all, don't we belong to him through Christ? We are his. We are his children. And we are secured and protected within his wisdom and knowledge. And that wisdom and knowledge works within us. Our faith, our trust, both have foundation in the depth. How deep? Remember? It's depthless. It can't be measured. But our faith and our trust is founded in the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And this is why. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The wisdom of men, or the wisdom of this age, it implies the notion of human weakness. Humans are not eternal. They're not all-knowing, not all-powerful, nor everywhere present. Humans are mistake-prone, and those mistakes will prompt them into sin. In verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that are going to come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. It was a secret known only to God. It goes on, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that amazing? The enemy would not have crucified the Lord of glory had he known the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord God. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Man, that pretty much says it all. So what a wonderful encouragement to hold fast to the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And in closing, I want to read Romans 11:33 once again from the New American Standard Bible. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Well, God bless your wonderful hearts. Have a great week. We love you.